Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The College Football Notebook is brought to you by Dos Equis, official beer sponsor of the College Football Playoff.
All right, college football around the corner, too. What a run to the weekend it's going to be, especially if we can get some more baseball this weekend. It's going to turn into Falcons and Braves and college football and everything else is going to be going on.
So when would they play? Braves win tonight. They start the series, what, Saturday? Friday, okay.
Yeah, game won't be Friday night. Maybe at home Friday night, because they would have home field if the Nationals beat the Dodgers. And, of course, first things first, you got to beat the Cardinals in Game 5 tonight. Going to be a beautiful night for baseball. Do be aware of the traffic as well, because it's a 5 o'clock start for the Braves. More on the Braves just a moment. College football, we have a game tonight. The Sun Belt, the Fun Belt, has actually a pretty big game in the regular season with Appalachian State taking on Louisiana. They are the two current leaders, first-place teams in each division, and maybe a preview of the Sun Belt title game with Appalachian taking on Louisiana. Meantime, a big loss for the Auburn Tigers. Hugh, they had they played so great in beating Oregon and A&M and Mississippi State and everything that they had done, and then took a tough loss to Florida last week. Then it got compounded because Jatarvius Whitlow, who has been not only their best running back, but right there is the best running back in the entire SEC this year, now going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with knee surgery. That's pretty much the rest of the regular season, and that's a huge blow to them.
What is that? I'm not certain what the – I'm assuming it's a meniscus, torn meniscus or something like that in his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Neither here nor there. But the problem is this. Like, he was a big part of your run game. You're talking about last week against the Florida Gators, he had 18 carries for 81 yards, and to lose a guy like that, that's going to be a huge blow to a young quarterback. I say it all the time. Anytime you have a young quarterback back there, he benefits tremendously from having a strong running game. And by Bo Nix not having his Jatarvius back there, you know, Cam Martin's going to probably have to take a little bit of that load off of him. And the other guy, Anthony Schwartz, but, man, that's a lot. To lose that kind of production, that's going to be a lot.
Yeah, now, if it's only a 4-week injury, then he would miss Arkansas, LSU in Baton Rouge, and Ole Miss, and be back for Georgia and Alabama at the end of the year, if it's only a 4-week injury. But anything longer than that, and Jatarvius Whitlow is going to be out, and they're really going to miss him because they do have LSU, Georgia, and Alabama, and the heart of that schedule in the SEC coming up. It's a really tough gauntlet. We said it at the beginning of the year. Nobody had a tougher schedule this year on paper than Auburn. It was a brutally hard schedule, and it remains so. I mean, it's just unbelievable how tough this schedule is. When your crossover games in the SEC East are Florida and Georgia on top of a non-conference game against Oregon, and on top of the fact that you play LSU and A&M and Alabama in the West, that's just insanely hard, Hugh.
Yeah, it is. And if they can figure out a way, if they can find a way to try to stay, you know, just keep their head above water, they'll probably be an interesting team moving forward as far as the college football playoffs are concerned. But like you said, John, those games against Georgia and Auburn, I mean, excuse me, those games against Georgia and Alabama, those are going to be tough ones, especially when you're losing your running back.
And a quick update for the Georgia Dogs ahead of their game against South Carolina, noon Saturday, getting word that cornerback Tyson Campbell has a chance to return. Kirby Smart saying in reports sooner than later, on Tyson Campbell, and saying that nose tackle Jordan Davis may be available to play against South Carolina. So a couple of good updates on the defensive side of the football for Georgia in Tyson Campbell and Jordan Davis. And, you know, South Carolina comes in here, you know, a team that you can move they can move the football, Hugh. I mean, they've got some offensive weapons, and so Georgia's defense, which has been, you know, stellar so far this year, going to be tested again against South Carolina.
Yeah, speaking of Georgia, I want to just give a shout-out to one of those damn good dogs out there that played, a former Georgia Bulldog, my man Randy McMichael. Because my man, Randy McMichael, yesterday, our boss, Terry Fox, had a desk that he needed to get moved into his office. And my man, Randy McMichael, selfishly, non-selfishly, whichever way, how am I saying it? Am I saying it wrong?
Selflessly.
I was asking orange, John. I was asking orange. But anyway, selflessly helped him move his desk into his office. And I commend him for that, because we knew that it was going to be one of us that was going to be asked to help him, our boss, our fearless leader, Terry Fox, move his desk into his office. And my man, Randy McMichael, got the call. And he front and center. You know, sometimes Randy could be a little angry running around here being, you know, angry. You know, he's been on that keto diet. He ain't really been eating that like he used to. But he did it, didn't bat an eye, went out there and helped his boss move that desk. And I want to commend him for that. Want to commend him. Better you than me, Randy McMichael. And I know he's not listening because he's in the bullpen warming up, but still, just wanted to give him a shout-out for that.
Well, certainly Randy came in all spit and fire today because I asked him the poll question. One of the three questions we have for you that's up on our Twitter at 929 The Game about the Atlanta Braves today and about whether or not, you know, he thinks, you know, the Braves are going to win. And he's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he was like, yeah, we're winning. You know, I mean, it was just and that's what I think. I think we're winning, too. I know some people are in their feelings this morning. You know, reacting to this, you know, I have to admit, I have a horrible feeling about this game. You know, I think we're going to be okay. I do. I think we're going to be fine tonight, Hugh. I just got a sense that we're going to win this game.
Well, I'm glad it's changed in 24 hours, John. I mean, that I'm happy about that. I've always been optimistic about the Atlanta Braves. I've always been optimistic about the way the scenario is going to play out from beginning all the way until now. Fulton-Evich is going to get the job done. That's what I'm feeling tonight. I am feeling that he's going to get the job done, and we are going to be getting ready for some more playoff baseball when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I do hope these clouds kind of go away here. I don't want to see any of that in there. At least it's not going to be 105 in the shade like it was for games 1 and 2. What are you chuckling about over there?
I'm just laughing at a text message I got. I guess that the moving people helped move in the furniture last night. And something like somebody's a little bit upset about, you know, the fact that I'm giving Randy all this love. I'm sorry. Shout out to Sean Thompson because he was actually the one to help move it from in front of his door yesterday while Randy laughed at him. My bad. So I guess it was Sean Thompson. That's not what the video showed. I'm just going by the video footage that I saw. So I retract the statements I made about my man Randy Mack helping out because obviously one of our avid listeners felt some kind of way about me giving, you know, false praise to somebody. So shout out to the underboss, Sean Thompson, for helping move the desk into our fearless leader, Terry Fox's office. I apologize for that. He said, what would you say, Bone Spurs start acting up? Oh, wait a minute. Randy couldn't do it because he used this excuse as his Bone Spurs was hurt. Okay, I'm sorry.
Couldn't extend his elbow and lift the desk. Is that what
all
it was?
I saw was the video. I saw the video.
Yeah,
and
it looked like
you know Randy was helping. And then when I laughed about it, he sent me the "You're number one" sign. I just thought to me that was confirmation. When somebody tells you you're number one with the middle finger, that's kind of confirmation. So my bad, underboss. It's all you. Underboss, text me in and tell me how you feel about Fulton-Evich on the mound tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back on topic.
Yeah, right, exactly. Who are you most relying for on for the Braves to win this Game 5? It's one of the poll questions we have at our Twitter right now. You're going to say Foldy lights out, which is leading at 46%, like you said, Hugh. Freddie and JD hitting, that's 34%. Bullpen lockdown is certainly what are you relying on most for the Braves tonight? Or is this relentless thing really going to be kind of like the mantra of the team? Are you going to get production out of 3, 4, and 5? Now, a couple of things you need to know about the game tonight. We're hearing reports that Adam Duvall is going to start and play in left field. That'll move Nick Markakis to right and put Matt Joyce on the bench. And that Dansby Swanson is going to be bumped up in the order from 8 to as high as 6 in the order today to try and take advantage a little bit more of his hot bat right now. So we'll see what Brian Snicker has in terms of a lineup tonight against Jack Flaherty and trying to get some early runs against a guy that's been so great tonight. But you can vote on that. You can also vote on, you know, how you're feeling today. You can say you're relentless, we got this, which is what I voted, and that's at 55%. Maybe hope we chop on at 28%, and 17% are saying, Hugh, OMG, the curse is real, and those are up at our Twitter at 929 The Game. And we talked earlier about Freddie and Donaldson and stepping up and, you know, who we thought was going to step up tonight. That's part of our morning menu, by the way. It's also up there. But the middle of that order's got to step up. If the Braves are going to win, yes, you're right. Foldy's got to do his thing and everybody. But we got to see some production because Ronald Acuna can't get on base again and again and be left standing out there.
Again, my story for the Braves is you're stranding runners, you're leaving runners stranded. You can't do that. Tonight, I think the pitching is going to be there. I think the relief pitching is going to be there. The biggest issue is going to be leaving runners in position, stranded, and you know, in position. You don't want to do that. Not tonight. That's not going to happen tonight. Everything with this day off, this rest, Freddie Freeman's going to be on point. He's not probably going to hit a homer, but he's going to keep the ball in play. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that you have to do. Don't have to win it hitting the big bopper bat. Play small ball. You've done it before. Just do that and work and do that behind that solid pitching that you're going to get tonight from Fulton Evans.
Well, it makes your day even better is to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Vault. V-A-U-L-T, Vault to 72881. That's Vault to 72881. Code word for the national signing bonus contest this hour is Vault. V-A-U-L-T, Vault to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules at 92onthegame.com/rules. That's Vault, V-A-U-L-T. That's the code word for this hour. And you text it to 72881. So text Vault to 72881. You'll be entered in the national signing bonus. Code word of the hour is Vault. I guess we had the college football notebook at the beginning of the segment. I have to say it's brought to you by Dos Equis, which is the official beer sponsor of college football playoff. And then, of course, we got back into the Braves. Talking about you know, what's going to happen tonight in Game 5. And I think most fans, from what I could tell, you know, Hugh on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line and from some of the replies, some are in their feelings, but I think most are fairly confident tonight the Braves are going to be that this relentless thing is real. You could argue the series should have been over in Game 4 and shouldn't have gotten to Game 5, but now that we got it at home, I think most fans are fairly comfortable that we're going to be able to do some damage tonight and win this game and advance along to the NLCS. And then we're going to have a different conversation tomorrow about who we play in the NLCS. Who do you want to buy? I mean, do you care?
You asked me that already. I don't care. Line them up, knock them down. That's my mentality. I know that the Washington Nationals probably have been a pleasant surprise for the Dodgers, and they're taking them to forcing the Game 5. I don't care. Line them up and knock them down. I mean, when you're a team of destiny, you can't worry about the path to your destiny. Sound like some old philosophical stuff I just dropped right there. Dang. But anyway, yeah. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just being totally honest. If you're a team of destiny, if you feel like this team is destined to do great things, it doesn't matter who you play against, because your story has already been written, if that's the way you feel. And so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it may not matter. For my money, I think I would rather play the Dodgers. I think I would rather face the Dodgers and just have that showdown against them. Though there would be a couple of benefits to playing the Nationals should the Nationals win tonight. One would be, A, the Braves would have home field advantage against the Nationals, and B, you wouldn't have any of those really late night starts in Los Angeles, which for us is really hard, you know, doing the morning show. So, I mean, it's all about us, right? Falcons fans, you can tune in to 92 on the Game 2 hours before every Falcons game. That would be at 2 o'clock this week.
Hey.
Harry Douglas and Paul Crane previewing the Falcons and the Cardinals. Countdown to kickoff brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light is brewed for the Dirty Birds. Speaking of the Dirty Birds, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, going to be talking about the game. We have the interview. It is Wednesday, Competition Wednesday, where we talk to Coach Quinn. And we'll spool that interview up if you missed it earlier and play it for you again, what he had to say about the state of the team in Arizona. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. This hour of the program brought to you by Renner's Warehouse. Game 5 tonight. And as the keeper of the Kool-Aid and the driver of the bandwagon, I'm here to tell you, have faith. We're relentless. Chop on. Braves are going to win tonight. Just got a really good feeling in my gut. The Braves are going to break out the bats against Jack Flaherty. I know he's been great, but the Braves are going to hit him. And the Braves are going to win this game tonight. And we'll be having a fun conversation with you tomorrow morning when Harry Douglas steps in for Hugh tomorrow and Friday. Of course, a lot going on in town. This is a typical Competition Wednesday for the Atlanta Falcons. And every Wednesday, we get a chance to talk to head coach Dan Quinn. And we did so this morning, and our interview with the coach started with Hugh asking the question of Coach Quinn, how did Caleb McGarry grade out last week going up against J.J. Watt?
Well, I think what you like about those experiences, and like he's had a couple good rushers right off the bat. What J.J. has, you know, he can go speed to power. He's got good hands to go. So he's one of the best. And so when you really challenge yourself to to see how you're going to do and how you'll match up. As a competitor, you really want those challenges. All right, this is one of the best. I want my shot at him. I want to go. I thought there were definitely times that he really threw his hands and held his own. Like most things, when you're not sure or waiting for a guy to hit a move and you're late, he was too. So it kind of reconfirms, hey, man, like trust your technique. You know, when you really are on it, it stays really good, stays really consistent. It's because of the size of him, Huey. Like, he's big, like one of your old teammates, you know, Big Runyon big. You know, like when you stand next to McGarry, like, it's a big dude. He's hard to get around. So, like, make sure all the time he's throwing those hands to make people have to deal with him.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn about the Atlanta Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Coach, you didn't get much of a pass rush last week. So how do you address this? How do you address trying to get pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, and we 100% have to. And, you know, what also comes from that is the forced fumbles. And you'd be surprised, the two teams that lead the league in forced fumbles are Arizona and Atlanta. And now we have not recovered all those. We're not the leaders in that space, or neither are they. But what I do know is that, you know, for us to be the team we have to, that has to come alive. You know, we got one out on Watson. He picked it up and scrambled for a first down. The same thing a week prior where he got down to fourth and one with, you know, versus Tennessee. So it's a lot of communication. It's a lot to get right in our rush. We certainly are committed to doing that, John. It's four guys that it takes to go together, coverage, everything. If we can create some better third down opportunities, it certainly makes the ops to rush better because of, you know, now it's not, you know, out so quickly. But we're committed to doing that in any way. So that's one of the big topics, obviously, that we'll be hitting on, you know, on all three of the on-field practice days here over and over again. These guys can throw it. They've got a mobile quarterback. You're going to have to chase them all over the field. So it'll be important for us to get that part of our game right.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Dan Quinn. Coach, the running backs had some good numbers in the passing game, but how do we get them going in the running game?
Yeah, that's where the frustration is, you know, across the board, players, coaches, you know, everybody, fans, yourself, all of us, because we know, you know, what these guys can do. So we're going to keep digging at it hard. And I would say if we were coming out of the week here of two real emphasis for us, it's, you know, obviously in the secondary and our pass rush defensively, but it's in the run game to make sure that can consistently get going. And you know it firsthand, man, when you have both and you have balance, it's the most challenging. And we weren't disappointed in the touches, you know, in the pass game. I think both of them had about six catches or so. But what we really need is, you know, consistent grind where these guys are getting able to push and go. So that's where we're at. We're digging hard on that part of it, Hugh, to see what packages we run it best in, what looks we run it best in. And those are, you know, I'd say the two emphases for this week. You know, from our coverage side, our rush side, on the defensive side, and then the run game, certainly on the offensive side. We felt like we made some progress in the protection game. We've made some progress in terms of throwing it and getting some explosives, but that's the secret sauce right there with the run game.
You know, we understand that you stayed out west and you're coming to us from Phoenix today. This decision was made obviously before the season, but does it come at a kind of a fortuitous time for you, given everything that's happened so far, that you're able to spend a week out in Arizona together as a team?
It sure did, because you know, when you're here, you kind of need this isolation when you're not hitting it on the cylinders that you want to. And you know, for all of us, you know, like, not only are the fans and everybody upset, like, no one feels worse than the team. And so, like, we still want to get it right for everybody. And that's why sometimes being out all together 24/7, you get more time to get together, more time to go through things. And it wasn't, you know, any thought other than just, hey, we had two trips out west, so let's do it together. But sometimes you just, it happens at the time you need it. And so that's what our team needs right now. And we'll have three, you know, really good days of work here. We'll go over to Arizona State for our practices and really put together a good plan for us to play like we're capable in all three phases. And that's the key to us. Man, let's play complementary football, all three phases. And, you know, then, you know, hopefully we'll get to see the team we'll have. And that's the only purpose here to being here is getting our game right.
Head coach Dan Quinn joining us, talking about the Atlanta Falcons with John and Hugh from Phoenix, Arizona, as they get ready for the game against the Cardinals this week. You talk about some of the scheme things you could do. What about some of the players? I mean, given everything that's taking place here, are we going to get a chance to see maybe personnel changes on the defense? Will we see John Kaminsky more, Kendall Sheffield maybe in the starting lineup, Deidre Sinod and Jermaine Grace? I mean, you're looking at a lot of guys right now.
Well, we certainly, starting in the secondary first, and Sheffield, got more work last week and more turns as he got started, and so he certainly earned that. I think you guys feel the speed that he has, so that's a good matchup, when you have that kind of speed and you can play down and square at the line. He's strong. He's got really strong hands. He can play square at the line of scrimmage and challenge receivers, so he's there, and we're still definitely developing John as we're going. He's played primarily on special teams so far. But, in this kind of game where they're a more wide open offense, you'll need all the rushers you can, all the movement you can. And so I would say everybody, all hands on deck, if you're active, you're up and going to play really fast and rely on that speed and physicality that we like. So I want to make sure that run and hit factor is fully alive and well here in Arizona.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Quinn, Dan Quinn, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, moving forward a little bit, looking at the Arizona Cardinals, how do you limit Kyler Murray and keep him from making explosive plays?
Yeah, I think when you study him, and you guys will see him this weekend, he can really rip it. And so, in the pocket, he can make all the throws. He's got good accuracy, outbreaking throws, deep balls. Larry Fitzgerald is still a fantastic target, somehow just still playing at this really ridiculously good high level, crafty to do it. Kirk outside is another one. We've got lots of respect for David Johnson. So he uses all the weapons. There's some quarterback run element to it, Hughes, some zone read or, option work where he does. But more often, it's him getting outside the pocket or a quarterback draw that he can do those. So as often as you can keep him in the pocket, although he's got a good arm to rip it, when you get outside the pocket, he does have some long explosive runs. Guys' backs are turned or you can't see him. So you better design things that you have a good eye on him because he's got real speed to get out on the edge.
Yeah, you talk about that anxious nature, Coach, and it's always important to get a win, but there are times where sometimes you really need a win more than others, and this team, I get a sense, really just needs to win a game.
I think because like everybody, whether it's fans or media or players or coaches too, you're frustrated because you want it so badly, and I think you guys have been around the team to know how much they care and how much it means to them, and it's probably a good game, a good day to, remind you, why we play it and coach it is because we love it so much. And maybe that's why some of the frustration comes in because you put so much damn work into it that you want it to get together and come through like you want to. So, it's going to take, man, a lot of work, a lot of belief and trust in what we're doing. You got to put your nose back to the grindstone and really trust in it. We've got some good players and a good scheme. Now we've got to go put the whole thing together, John. I think that's so important. To play that complimentary football back and forth off one another, all the explosive plays. So frustration for sure, but at the end of it, man, let's get this performance up and running like we need to.
Dan Quinn earlier today, you got a must win. Hey, you can tune in to Dukes of Bell for a chance to win a pair of tickets to today's playoff game 5. The code word is relentless. Relentless is the code word. The Braves playoff ticket, courtesy of Papa John's Pizza. Tune in to Dukes of Bell. Listen for the code word and then add the word relentless, and you can win 2 tickets to tonight's Game 5 at SunTrust Park. So on the rundown, here's World.
Yes, well, I'll talk about a movie that I saw last night, Gemini Man, and I want to share what I thought about it with you on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World is brought to you by Georgia's Own Lit Ultra Premium Vodka, the smoothest vodka in the game. Get lit and live it today. So yesterday, I promised my man Ezekiel Love that I'm not going to spoil the movie for him because he said he's going to go see the movie this weekend. I'm assuming it's with his significant other. So I'm not, you ain't got to do that, man. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But
Are you going to stop? Thank you. Thank you for that. But I was intrigued by this movie for two reasons. Ang Lee, because, you know, Ang Lee has made some great movies about. I think he did it, one of the Incredible Hulk movies. He did The Hulk, where he got a lot of heat for that one, but the CGI was awesome. You know, Ang Lee is known for CGI. And I just found out today that this technology that they're using in this movie is called de-aging technology, that they have used this before. I guess they use it in the Netflix, The Irishman, for, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, and can't think of who plays Scarface. Can't think of his name right now.
Al Pacino,
yeah, for those guys. So I definitely need to go see this. But the premise of this movie, the Gemini Man, is Will Smith is a hitman, one of the best to ever do it. And, you know, he is like anybody else who has ever, you know, fought for his country or whatever. He gets older and, you know, he starts to grow a conscience a little bit. You know, as we all get older, we start to change and evolve, and we look back on some of the moves we made when we were younger, and we tend to regret some of them or wish we would have did things a little bit different. That's kind of the premise of the movie. But this takes it to another level where, you know, his I don't want to say it's his doppelganger, it's his clone. That they make a clone of him, and they try to clone out all the stuff that kind of made him him. Where they're trying to do all of that. Don't want to tell you too much of the movie. But I tell you what, man, from the beginning to the end, if you're an action person and you like action movies, this movie is filled with action. From the absolute beginning to the end, I like the fact that, you know, it had a Georgia theme in it, you know, living here in Georgia. It seemed like, I think they shot a lot of it in Savannah. Got to go see Savannah. I really thought they shot the way that they shot Savannah off the water was really, really great. Will Smith, surprising. A lot of people don't like Will Smith as an actor. I thought he did a great job of acting. I think Will Smith is one of the better action actors in the game because of his range of emotions that he displays on his face when he acts. So I was kind of surprised when people were talking about it's another movie about Will Smith, you know, about himself and all this other stuff. Did a great job of acting. But the thing that really got me and held my attention in this movie was the CGI, like, for real. Like, I'm sitting there, and initially when you first see what I'm talking about, it's almost like watching the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's a killer. Like, just imagine that for a minute. A young Will Smith, when he was on the show, being a hitman and doing all this phenomenal stuff. It was wild. The CGI was bananas. But you could tell that on some parts, you could kind of tell they were still kind of working it out because the lip movements and everything were kind of like, you know, CGI. But all in all, man, it was a great movie. Let me pull that back. It wasn't a great movie. The CGI was great. Mm-hmm. The storyline was great. The action was great. There's going to be some people who find some flaws probably in the storyline, like my man Abe, because, you know, Abe's going to pick the storyline apart.
Right.
I'm just saying, because, I mean, it is true, because right. Abe watches a lot of movies. No disrespect. I don't want your mom, you know, slap me across the lips when I finally do get a chance to meet her. But Abe watches movies a little bit different, and he's looking for character development, all the other good stuff. I think they did a great job of giving you enough background on Will Smith's character that you felt familiar with him. Now, the doppelganger or the clone, if you will, probably not so much. And Clive Owen's character in the movie, probably not so much. But the way that it was written, the way the action scenes went and everything like that, mm-hmm. It was pretty good. The thing that really had me going, though, was, I mean, just amazed at how the CGI technology has changed in such a short period of time. You're talking about back to when Ang Lee did Incredible Hulk and how that looked. And you know, you can still tell it was looking like a little cartoonish. This one right here, you need to go check it out, man. I was so excited about this movie that I'm definitely when I get to Ohio, I'm gonna go check out The Irishman, because I want to see what that looks like, and I want to see if it's the same quality as Gemini Man. So if you got a date this weekend, if you ain't got nothing to do, go see Gemini Man, man.
Is this sort of like, you know, that Benjamin Button thing where they use that?
No. Not Benjamin Button. Oh, wait a minute. In the sense of what? That he's aging backwards?
Yeah.
I would say no. But it had.
But you bought the younger Will Smith was.
I did. And so much so that I was like, okay. if you watch it, there's going to be a scene in the movie. You know how they do different stunts and everything, where I didn't buy the stuntman. I bought the CGI character more than I bought the actual stuntman that they had to ride. And that was a shame. I remember on the segment, I remember sitting there thinking like, damn. Like, because, you know, he's right. There's a scene where, you know, there's a motorcycle scene. And Will Smith's older self is on the motorcycle. And you know how they're trying to make it as realistic as possible. And the guy's riding the bike. And he's kind of looking back, but you really can't see his face. But you can see features. And I'm like, damn. They couldn't get a better stuntman? They couldn't do the CGI on the stuntman face? Because he looks nothing like Will Smith. Like, he looked nothing like him. The CGI guy looked more like Will Smith. And whoever they used, I thought it was his son, like the features of the person that did the CGI, whatever, looked more like Will Smith than the dude did that was supposed to be his stunt double. And it was a somewhat a deep storyline.
You know, I wonder how long we are, Hugh, from being able to use actors who've passed, you know, like, you know, you know.
You know what's funny about that? You funny you mentioned that. I just started watching Horror Story, American Horror Story, the last one, the one that's on Netflix. And I swear, no disrespect, but I didn't know Joan Collins was still alive. Like, she's in the one that I'm watching now, where they're in the bomb shelter. I didn't know she was still alive. I thought that was CGI. My mind was so blown from watching Gemini Man last night. I thought they CGI'd Joan Collins into the thing. So she is still, so that's official. She is still alive. She 86 years old? She don't look bad for 86. She was but you know what I remember? Because I used to watch Dynasty. Joan Collins was the original rich thot. Like, she was a thot back in the day. Like, the rich thot, though. I know they ain't got nothing to do with nothing what we talking about, but I just want to, you know, just want to give you some perspective on the timeline of thotness. And she was kind of like the original thot.
Yeah, but she was a mean thot, though.
Yeah, and she was a rich one, too. But, yeah, if you got time, you want to go check it out, man. I think the thing that's going to grab you is what grabbed me, is the fact that you're going to be looking at this Will Smith, the younger Will Smith character, and you're going to be sitting there like, wow, I can't believe they actually did that. And I'm from what I've been reading about the story, that's kind of where Hollywood is going now. Some of these older actors that have aged a little bit, they're going to start doing movies with them, and they're going to do the CGI stuff to make them look a little bit younger. So that was pretty cool. Go check it out. If you got a chance, go check it out. Gemini Man. I recommend it.
Yeah, that's, as you said, The Irishman. That'll be really interesting to watch younger versions of De Niro and Pacino and Pesci. It'll be like Goodfellas all over again. All that we could do to be younger, right? I mean, wouldn't that be great for all of us if we just all live CGI? Andy and Randy don't need no CGI. They're young and they're ready and they're chomping at the bit to talk about Game 5 of the NLDS and the deciding Game 5 and the Braves. That's coming up top of the hour as we continue. Counting down to the Braves and Cardinals on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.